America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
It's Sunday night, Central Florida, the night of a beautiful day out. It's starting to get a little cooler, a little crispness in the air. I moved down here from New York to avoid 22-degree nights. I'm looking forward to not having another one in my life. I am Nostra Dennis, and I'm in for Lair Adams. Lair is not here. He hasn't told us where he is. Carl Jackson of the Carl Jackson Show is not here. Well, he told us. He's off with family. Young Buck Tyler Israel. Who the heck knows he is? He might be stranded on the beach for all I know.
He's a college kid.
So the American adversaries tonight consist of our board op, Jeff Sennett, pushing all the right buttons. Our WTF newshound, Johnny Guns. Me, the aforementioned Nostra Dennis. And our host here, Christopher Hart. Now, we are as undermanned as the New York Giants or the Jacksonville Jaguars, but we still intend to win. Here's our leader, Christopher Hart.
Oh, thank you so very much, Nostra Dennis. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us on this fine autumn eve here in Central Florida. It is a beautiful one at that. And who knows, the big bad storm may be heading our way, but even if it does, it'll just bring some rain with it. Johnny's shaking his head.
It's not even a tropical storm anymore.
No. It really did. It washed out pretty quick, didn't it? Just like that global warming stuff. Okay, we'll talk about that actually a little bit more later on in the show. That's right, folks. We are live, and we are on 660 WORL right from the get-go tonight. And 407-774-8255 is that number. We'll be live with you until 8 o'clock, at which time we're going to hand the ball off to Mark Walters of Armed American Radio. And we want to thank you for being with us. And the Tampa Rays are in the playoffs.
For now.
They've got a big game tomorrow. If they lose tomorrow, unfortunately, they're out. They've got to win the next three in a row to get to the next level. So it's not looking too good for the Rays right now, but they did make the playoffs. Now, if they do, however, go to the next level, we may have another interruption in our time schedule, and we may get pinched a little bit tomorrow by the pregame show. The game kicks off tomorrow at 6 o'clock, but we'll start our show at the regular time at 5, and most likely we'll take you right up to the 6 o'clock hour, but we'll be letting you know.
We weren't even sure until yesterday, but both National League series are tied at 1 apiece. So there will be a game 4 on Monday for both those series, and there will be a game 3 for both the American League. So it's etched in stone, 6:07's first pitch tomorrow.
Yeah, but we'll keep you updated on that. But if the Rays lose tomorrow, they'll be out of the series run, and our schedule will not be interrupted anymore this season. So, but good luck to the Rays. They've had a great season so far. It's been a bit topsy-turvy. When they've been hot, they've been really hot. When they've been cold, they've been pretty doggone cold, unfortunately.
It's chilly out there in Tampa right now.
And they were hot going into this series, but all of a sudden they went up to Bean Town and got cold. So we'll see what happens when they come back to the Trop.
Cold beans.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. Folks, I want to, before we really get rolling here, and by the way, we've got a great lineup for you tonight. It will be the three of us, along with Jeff Sennett, who's a man in the gadgets on the other side of the glass in there, and he'll be talking to you when you call us on the phone. We're also going to have Colonel Danny McKnight, who's going to sort of give us the wrap-up of his long week as he's toured the country from Boston to Georgia, New Jersey, visiting in Arlington. Cemetery in Washington as he's visited the grave sites of his six Army Rangers who were lost in the Black Hawk Down incident, which finally is getting a little attention tonight on 60 Minutes. ABC News did do a little something on it, but it hasn't, I don't think, gotten nearly attention it should have gotten. But be that as it may, Colonel McKnight's been with us most of the last week, and tonight will be his final report as they're heading home tonight after the reunion weekend at Ross Perot's Ranch, just outside, I guess, of Dallas, Texas, there somewhere.
And we're getting him back on a week from Thursday. He'll be here live in the studio again.
Back on his regular routine with us. And after Colonel Danny McKnight, we're going to have our first diva on our show. That's right.
Don't call her a diva, though. There's a difference between a diva and a gorgeous lady of wrestling. Isn't that right, Johnny?
Well,
definitely.
Okay, she's a glow girl. Right. All right, gorgeous lady of wrestling, a professional wrestler. Her name is Patricia Summerlin, and she's going to be joining us after Colonel McKnight tonight, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And we also are going to be giving a bottle of Roxy Pacifics away. Congratulations to Ellen, who won last week, but we'll be giving a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics away. And also, of course, we're going to be playing our Who Said That contest. We're also going to be here in a few minutes talking about the latest, if you will, in the merry-go-round up there in Washington, D.C. We'll also be talking about Nostradamus is going to predict the past. Johnny Gums, of course, is going to do his WTF news. And even though Lair's not here, he has provided us with his closing remarks. We'll also be talking about something called Sue and Settle. Have you ever heard of Sue and Settle?
Heard of them both, but I've never heard of them together.
I kind of like a boy named Sue. Sue and Settle is a strategy that the liberals are utilizing in order to get regulations through without by bypassing Congress altogether and speeding up the process even at that. It's a great article was written this past week in the Wall Street Journal by Stephen Moore. Actually, it was just this weekend. It's called Sue and Settle. Let me read the title. Using Sue and Settle to Thwart Oil and Gas Drillers.
Yeah,
you know, one of the best things, if not the only really great thing happening in our economy right now, which it actually is quite a great thing, and that is the boom in the energy industry. And I'm talking about the fossil fuel energy industry, oil and natural gas, going on all across this country. It could even be going on right here in Florida, mm-hmm. We choose to do so. But that aside, this is a great boom going on all across the country, and there's a lot of people out there who would like to stop it dead in its tracks. And this is changing even global geopolitics, because the United States has now quietly become the number one fossil fuel energy, oil and gas energy producer in the world.
Despite
it just surpassed Russia, who had been number one.
Despite this administration's efforts.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, they have closed off federal lands. They've been very effective at doing that because they're in charge of the federal government. But this boom has been being carried out on state and private lands. That's where Sue and Settle comes in. That's where they're going to shut the door on that. So we need to get boned up on that one so that we can be prepared to address that strategy as it comes up. And it will, because it's already been proven to work by the liberals. All right. So but before we really get rolling here, folks, I want to just plead with you for a moment, if I can, to help us out in a couple of projects around here. I know we're always throwing, if you will, charitable organizations on our show. Bringing them on our show because we're trying to help them out. We're trying to provide you with a way to be active in the community. You know, it's one thing to sit around and fret and be studied even. It's another thing to try to do something about it. And that's what we're all about here. We're going to be asking for tonight is a little help to address the problem of Alzheimer's disease. We had George Diaz and Joan Giovanni on our show last week, and we talked about in 3 weeks from yesterday, there's going to be a walk downtown Orlando. It's going to be meeting right there at the amphitheater. And the walk starts at 8 a.m., and it's to, you know, raise awareness of Alzheimer's.
It's right in Lake Eola.
That's right. Exactly. Lake Eola downtown. Walk to end Alzheimer's. I don't know how, you know, attainable that goal is to end Alzheimer's, although the cure may be in the prevention of it. We'll talk about that sometime. But if you could just help us out, come on down Saturday morning. It's at 8 o'clock. It's going to be one time around the lake, so it's not going to take a whole lot out of your day. But it will be a great help to the local Alzheimer's organization. We'd like to put together an American Adversaries team. So we're going to put together some sort of little team package that if you contribute a certain amount, we'll give you a T-shirt, and you can come on down and walk with us Saturday morning at 8 o'clock on October 26th. That'll be the last Saturday in October, and the weather should be really nice. If you would like to find out more about the Alzheimer's organization, you can go to alz.org. If you would like to find out more about the walk, just go to alz.org/walk. And if you happen to be in a situation where you have a family member or someone you know that has Alzheimer's, or you suspect may be approaching significant stage of Alzheimer's, they have a helpline. It's 800-272-3900. Write it down somewhere, folks, because eventually, who knows, you may need it. 800-272-3900. Put it right down there, you know, in your refrigerator next to your 911, your other emergency numbers. For Alzheimer's helpline, 800-272-3900. Okay, now, the weekend after that is going to be a golf tournament for all you golfers out there. You've been watching, what is it, the President's Cup on TV this weekend? Jack Nicklaus's golf course there, you know, it's been on NBC all day yesterday and today. The United States was up, I think, about 14-8, I think it was the last. But yeah. A great golf tournament to help a great cause. That's Just Our Soldiers Helpers, Josh. And they send packages to frontline troops, men and women, who are now mainly in Afghanistan, but wherever they are, to help them cope with just everyday living at the front line. And that is toiletries and specific snacks, but mostly things that just makes it easier, you know, for general hygiene. We'd like you to come out and help us. You can find out more about this at joshgolftournament.com. That's joshgolftournament.com. And it's going to be Saturday, November 2nd, and it's going to start at 1 o'clock, so it'll be a great afternoon, sure, I'm sure, of golf. And there's going to be raffles and prizes and a lot of stuff. It's at Timaquan in Lake Mary. That's a great golf course up there, and it's a great cause. Just Our Soldiers Helpers, and you can go to joshgolftournament.com to find out more about this.
Now, Chris, I don't golf, so can I stay at the 19th hole the whole time?
You certainly can. You right. certainly can. Yeah, you folks, you actually don't have to be, you know, you can go out there and just participate, and you can be a sponsor without playing in the golf tournament itself. So please, just help the folks over there at Josh out. That's joshgolftournament.com. And the Alzheimer's Walk the weekend before. So two great fall weekends coming up, and a couple of things you can do to really, make your day.
Can't wait. Speaking of making your day, we want to make the rest of your day, at least the next 2 hours and 37 minutes. So stay here. We are the American Adversaries, and the three of us are
live.
Phenomian wrestler is the star, Johnny B. Bad. I listen to the American Adversaries, and you should too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my two-day fruit.
Here goes Johnny B. Bad. What timing, Johnny B. Bad. Did you guys look at my outline here?
Now, I sure did.
Uh-huh. I don't know when those bumps are going to come up like that. No, I don't know. But I'm going for segment two in our show, ladies and gentlemen. We do an outline for every show, and four segments per show per hour. I mean, so there's 12 segments tonight's show, four for the weekday show. But in segment two of tonight's American Adversaries, I've got written here Johnny B. talking like Johnny B. Bad. Boy, we must be on tonight. We must be with the spirit. Oh, the spirit was with us, I should say. Okay. And the reason why I say in my outline here, Johnny B. talking like Johnny B. Bad, I'm talking about Johnny Boehner. Boehner was talking tough this morning. I was listening to the news there just before we came on the air, and they're selling it like Boehner, you know, is all of a sudden ready to negotiate. No, Boehner actually was talking tougher than ever. He was saying, look, all along we've wanted the president to negotiate. Whenever the president's ready to negotiate, we'll talk. Until then, we're not gonna do anything, basically. And he would not say that they're going to raise the debt limit or any of that other stuff. He was talking pretty doggone tough.
Yeah, and he insisted today on talking with George Stuffin' Envelopes,
yep,
that there are not enough House Republicans to join the Democrats in passing what they insist on calling a clean CR. What is unclean about not giving Harry Reid everything he wants? Okay?
You mean Dirty Harry Reid?
Yeah, but Boehner has said, you know, I'm not even bringing it up for a vote. There's not enough votes there, even if I wanted to, and I don't want to.
Well, the White House is no sooner than he got that out of his mouth. And this is why I say the Republicans could learn a thing or two from the Democrats. Because literally, no sooner than he had gotten that out of his mouth, than they responded to it. And the Republicans should do the same thing in kind. But to get back to the point, he said, yeah, there's not enough vote. Republicans to side with the Democrats in the House to pass it on through. So why bring it to the floor? Well, the Democrats and particular, the White House said, well, why not just give it a try? You know, we think there are enough. And evidently there's 18 or 20, which would not be enough. It would take some 30 or some odd votes, I believe, to actually turn it. But
you know the strategy, how Obamacare passed in the first place, by the president and his minions hammering on individuals, coming to each individual legislator to say, listen, if this passes, you can get this, you can get that. You might not get this thing you don't want.
I think that what's going on, and at least this may be wishful thinking, but here's what I think what's going on in the Republican House. There are guys like Peter King and these other ones that you've got the names of them, Nostradamus, and they're mostly all in the Northeast. Now, there two are here from Florida, and they're from down south Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, okay, real so that's, close to Miami.
That's the liberal part of the state down there. Diaz-Balart is one, and I forget the other fellow's name, okay? But I believe what has happened is Boehner has basically said to them, you know, you guys can have a pass, all right? You can go out there and make a little noise about not wanting to be with the team here because we really don't need your votes, okay? Because he knows he can go up to a certain number of people he can give a pass to before he's in danger of actually losing the vote.
But he better count that right.
Well, that's what the whip is for, the majority leader. And not the Speaker of the House, but I'm doing the majority leader, who I believe is Cantor. And the majority whip, that's their job, to make sure the votes are in line, whip them in line, and make sure who's who. And so as long as he has that core of 200 and some odd...
218 is all you need.
Yep, that as long as he has that many, then he's good to go. And it's his decision anyway to bring it to the floor or not. You know, this is where the Democrats have really, you know, they are rewriting American civics, when they say that the House, you know, like Harry Reid saying, what right does John Boehner have in you know, setting budget terms and stuff?
How many House measures have come to the Senate and Harry Reid hasn't even looked at it, much less brought it up for
vote? Well, the point being, if you read the Constitution, it is the purview of the House to set budget bills.
That's right? Their job.
And given the fact that Obamacare was pushed through as a budget measure, right? That's how the Senate was able to finagle it all through.
Not
and everything.
A tax.
It should mean that the House would have every right at any moment, at any given time, to redress the budgetary issue of Obamacare. Thank you very much for Democrats for passing it that way. So in every legal sense, John Boehner is on the right side of the law. And in every other sense, the Democrats, in every sense in that respect, they are on the wrong side of the law. There's no question about it. I have to say, I'm a bit amazed that the Republicans have held together this tight for this long. But I think that the strength is growing within them to continue to hold on, at least up until the debt limit, which is in about 12 more days. And, by the way, quietly, you know, yesterday, by a unanimous vote, now not everyone voted, but everyone who did vote, it was over 400 votes in the House of Representatives. It hasn't been taken up in the Senate yet because they're taking the weekend off amidst this crisis, as they call it. They're taking the weekend off. The House voted to, give back pay to the federal workers when they go back to work. Okay? Now, this is one of the little bills that Harry Reid was saying that they weren't going to have any part of any of these things like this, right? None of these things.
These piecemeal things.
Piecemeal things, which, by the way, folks, there's many budgets that have been passed in a piecemeal approach.
Every budget passed in the last 4 years has been piecemeal because it's been a continuing resolution.
Yep. And so we'll see what happens, because if the Republicans, I believe, the longer they hold tight, the more the pressure is going to build on the Democrats. When John Boehner wasn't on this morning, Jack Lew was pretty much making the rounds on all the shows this morning. He's our new Treasury Secretary. I call him new because he's relatively new anyway. By the way, he's the guy that came up with the sequester idea, right? The ones that the Obama administration says is such a bad idea.
Way to go, Jack.
Yeah, well, he got rewarded for such a bad idea with becoming the Treasury Secretary of the United States of America. So he gets to put his name on our money.
His squiggle.
Yeah, he was out there making the rounds and with all his dire predictions and everything, and saying how this was all unprecedented and this and that and the other thing. And, I mean, it's just such elementary misrepresentation of history. It's just not true. Even the debt limit raising under Obama, there have been negotiations tied to both in 2010 and 2011. Matter of fact, I believe it was in 2011 when they finally got a good deal, and the Republicans actually got a few budget cuts out of the deal, right? Yeah. So, I mean, how short of a memory does this president think that we have?
There's a real good piece in humanevents.com by Thomas Sowell, and one of the things he says in it, even if the debt ceiling is not lifted this time around, that does not mean the government will not be able to pay off the debt they owe. It just means they won't be allowed to run up new debt. Oh, my gosh, if we can't run up new debt, how are we going to survive?
Well, as long as the government's shut down, maybe we won't need that much. All right, folks, we're coming up against the first hard break tonight. Once again, I want to thank you for being with us tonight on 660 all night long. We are the American Adversaries. 407-774-8255 is the number.
This is the three-hour tour, and of course, I'm Thurston Howell III, lovey. So you can be Gilligan if you want, Johnny Guns. And of course, Chris, you're the professor.
Ah, I thought you were going to say the skipper.
No. Let's see, who's left over? Yeah, whoever that is.
Yeah.
Anyway, two in the books, 10 to go, the American Adversaries. See you on the other end.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz. If you can take it.
If you can take it. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries. A streamlined cast, shall we say, today. No Carl Jackson, no Tyler Israel, no Lair Adams, but
no
that's
pizza,
okay.
No pizza.
Yeah. is that a hint for Pasquale?
Well, I wouldn't be streamlined if I were eating pizza now, would I?
But what you do have is Jeff Sinis, Nostradamus, myself, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, and the best in political professional talk wrestling.
There you
or wrestling
go.
Talk.
Hey, we're going to have a real pro wrestler from Glow Wrestling on with us tonight. Gorgeous ladies of wrestling. All right, Patricia Summerlin coming up in the next hour. Once again, want to welcome you back to the show. That's right. We are back, and the government shutdown is affecting us all. I mean, it's got Carl out. It's got Lair out. That's where Lair is. He's been furloughed.
We were talking about on the regular weekday show, we were talking about NASA and how they had to send someone out there to put on all the out-of-office the phones and the computers. I saw a clip that kind of made me scared. You know, whoever's responsible for tying down the wires and everything at the space station must be a non-essential personnel, because I saw some astronaut spinning off into space, and she looked like Sandra Bullock. Weird.
Well, of course, you know, the mission that's ongoing right now is handled from Houston, Texas. So there's no problem with whatever happens at the Cape over here. Those are now simply the launch facilities and the final construction facilities. But they did find, evidently, there's a Mars probe that has to be launched in a certain window, I think coming up in the later this month or in November, and they are going ahead with that. So
they're
not going to miss the window. Let's hope not. Okay. But, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought the death limit up before we went to the break, because that's just where I wanted to go next. Another thing that Jack Lew was doing on the talk shows this morning, along with the president, who actually started this last week, I believe Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon, when he gave an interview to CNBC, a fellow by the name of John Harwood, another one of these sad-eyed looking, you know, liberal sycophants, you know, who asked the president the tough questions in the easiest of ways. And the president said, you know, the market should be concerned, because if you hadn't noticed, the stock market, it seems to be going about its business pretty much like there hasn't been a government shutdown.
And he sounds upset by that.
Of course he is. Jack Krugman, or not Krugman, what's the... the economist who, I'll think of his name here in a minute. Starts with a K. Anyway, he was on the last George Stephanopoulos' show the Sunday before the government shutdown actually took effect, and he basically said, you know, hopefully the markets will force the politicians into doing the right thing. In other words, he was hoping for basically a stock market crash, and President Obama continued that theme in his interview with Harwood, and they basically are trying to spook the market. And Jack Lew was out doing the same thing this morning, and basically there are all these dire predictions if we don't raise the debt ceiling. But as Nostradamus pointed out before the break, you know, the debt ceiling has to do with new debt, not servicing the old debt. And no one less than Warren Buffett, the second or third richest man in the world, indicated in an interview later in the week on CNBC that raising the debt ceiling by the so-called deadline wouldn't necessarily be catastrophic. In other words, he's saying that it wouldn't be all that bad.
It's not the end of the world as we know it.
Right. And he said if it went on a year, that would be a whole other thing. A year. So, in other words, he's telling the markets there's a little bit of time to play with here. Well, not like the administration has been saying.
But a year from now, we're going to be in the middle of elections, and we don't want that to muddy up things.
Well, but what he was saying is that the so-called deadline that we have here coming up in 12 days is not really a deadline, drop-dead deadline, and for various reasons. And but nonetheless, you know, the boys are out there crying wolf. And the people I mean by the boys, I mean Obama, Jack Lew, Harry Reid, all of these guys are out there, Pelosi, talking about Paul Krugman. That's his name. Paul Krugman, the Nobel Prize winning economist, you know, was hoping on Stephanopoulos' show a week ago today that the markets would force the politicians into doing the right thing by crashing the markets, is basically what he was saying. That the market makers would put in the sell orders and crash the market down and cause there to be a real outcry. Well, that didn't happen. And there hasn't been a real outcry. As a matter of fact, some of the stories that we're seeing in the media of the sad sob stories are things like people who are being inconvenienced because they can't get married at a certain place that was federal property or something like that. Now, obviously, there's worse cases of inconvenience out there. Certainly people who are going without paychecks, that's no fun. Whether you work for the federal government or not, it's no fun, you know, not to have that check coming in.
Here's an unintended consequence. At least I hope it's unintended. As I've been trying to call and line up guests, when I call a senator or a congressman's office, they're all on voicemail. They've all been at least partially furloughed.
Well, it's the operator, you know, the receptionist or whatever, the online operators. But
right.
The government itself, federal government itself, is actually going out of its way to inconvenience people. We talked about this last week. In particular, the most glaring case of this was closing down the World War II Memorial up there. And by the way, to my understanding, it's still closed down to the general public.
Legally, yes.
Yeah, you have to be a member of one of these honor flights. And by the way, one just got back, was up there yesterday, I guess, and they did get in, that's my understanding. And they were not going to be turned away.
Yeah, no one is going to arrest a World War II veteran, possibly, probably in a wheelchair for visiting that site.
Nonetheless, the longer it goes, the harder it's going to be for the administration to argue that they shouldn't be negotiating. And as a matter of fact, the questions were coming this morning for Jack Lew. I was kind of surprised. Certainly they were tougher on Cruz and other Republicans, Boehner, but certainly they did at least ask the question of Jack Lew, well, if the president and you are out here saying that this is going to be that catastrophic, why not negotiate with the Republicans? I mean, if that's what's going to take to prevent this from happening, why not do it? And then if you don't, aren't you at least in part standing up and causing it to happen yourself? And it's the glaring, obvious question, which is so beautiful about all this. You know, I was listening to Michael Medved, and this was a replay of a show he had on the other day as I was coming in the studio tonight. And he said, they don't have a strategy. And the beauty of this is, what's becoming more and more obvious is, you don't need much of one. You just need the guts, all right, and the courage to stand up for what's right. And then things begin to fall into place before you, all right? Give God a chance. He will take it, and he will do what he does.
Because man sure can't fix
this
problem.
No, just stand up for what is right, and things will happen to favor it. It's just, that's just the way it is. He's right. Medved's right. These guys didn't have much of a strategy going in. I still don't think they have much of a strategy, but look where they are. They're a whole lot actually better off. And in the end, I believe the country will be as well.
You know what? A little kid named David didn't have much of a strategy against the Philistines. Mm-hmm. The best thing he could come up with was a rock and a slingshot.
Yep.
Guess what? Mm-hmm. Worked.
He brought the giant down. That's absolutely right.
Don't talk about the Giants going down. Please, it's happened 5 times already. I don't want to hear anymore.
Yeah, what's that with Eli?
You don't even need a rock and a sling to take down those Giants.
They'll trip over their own feet.
Yeah. I tell you. They're out there. They're trying really hard to spook the markets. We'll see what happens tomorrow now that Jack Lew's made the rounds today, because I'm sure that's going to be the part of the news, the headlines in the morning for the markets is Jack Lew's out there saying, oh, if we don't do this, the full faith and credit, but just think back now. And for this segment I've got down here in the outline, folks, Barry and Jack cry wolf because... The sequester. Oh, it was supposed to be the worst thing ever.
Now, sure was.
Yeah, the thing that's getting penalized most is the military. Now, that's actually...
And they're coping with it as best they can.
And actually, that's what Obama wanted anyway. Right. So, you know, he didn't get the bump out of that he was expecting to get. He didn't get the bump out of the budget cuts and the taxes going up at the beginning of the year that he thought he was going to get. In other words, the dire predictions that have been coming out of this White House have not been right yet.
Yeah, and you know,
so a lot of people are just out. It kind of doesn't matter whether they're right this time or not. Their credibility is so shot.
Yeah, yeah. Gary Culpam, who follows us on our Drive Time show, has been saying for months, probably years, the market's going to do what the market's going to do, and you can't yell at the market and tell it should be going up or it should be going down. It's going to follow where it thinks the money's going to be.
Well, and as long as you have the Fed out there buying the federal debt and, you know, undergirding the federal debt by printing money, the markets are going to be happy. They're going to be more happy than they're going to be sad, because they're going to look over. They're going to say, yeah, Obama's screwing up, but there's our guy, Ben. Come on, Ben. Pump some more of that juice in there, buddy.
Mr. Bubble. That's what Gary calls him. Mr. Bubble Bernanke.
That's right. Okay, we're going to go ahead and go to the break. When we come back, Nostradamus is going to be predicting some of the past. So don't go away, folks. 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, folks, please come out October 26th at Lake Eola Park to help us with the Walk to End Alzheimer's. Okay, we're the American Adversaries, and we are live!
Medical, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
We are back. We are the American Adversaries. Just going to get some pictures on my cell phone. My wife is up in New York, and she's sending me pictures from Madame Tussauds. She's at the White House podium. How about this one? She's standing there, standing adoringly next to Ronald Reagan.
All right.
Yeah.
Got to see if she's got a Miley Cyrus.
She needs to get a picture next to Obama. Obama with the you know, the fingers behind his head.
The UConn basketball team.
Would be, believe
the rabbit ears.
No twerking pictures.
Please. Okay. Well, let's go to the phone lines.
Yeah, JJ from Orlando, you want to talk about the government shutdown. Bring it on.
Hey, JJ, thanks for calling.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to say, did you guys hear that the Normandy Cemetery, American Cemetery in Normandy was closed?
Yeah, yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, a lot of people spent a lot of money to get there, but anyway.
Yeah, this administration's going out of its way to inconvenience people and make them think, you know, the world's going to end if the government's not running. Anyway, go ahead.
Right, yeah. And then I just wanted to say the whole signing up for Obamacare. I think that they're trying to act like so many people are clamoring to sign up that the computers are crashing. And I think that they haven't finished writing it, so they just buy themselves more time. But act like they, oh, it's just this computer networking glitch.
Well,
they're still writing it.
Should anybody be surprised that the government can't do anything right? We can't do this right?
Right, I mean, right.
Outside of the military and NASA, you're not going to find much that the government can do very efficiently at all.
Now, and, you know, private computer analysts looked at the whole situation and said it would take about four times as much time and four times as much money to put the right system together rather than what they tried to do with this Obamacare sign-up.
Well, in essence, they're trying to cram, about a sixth of the United States economy into a computer program. I don't think we've come up with the brainiacs to be able to do that yet. Hey, JJ, go ahead.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
I wanted to say, Nostradamus, you might get say that every time. You might get a kick out of it. I read this in Ecclesiastes yesterday morning.
Ooh, what's that?
Chapter 10, verse 2.
Okay.
Unless you have a Bible there. But it says, a wise man's heart directs him toward the right. A wise man's heart directs him toward the left. That's in the Bible.
Well, it's in the Bible, so it's got to be true.
Right. I'm just saying.
Just saying. Hey, great. Great work. Thanks a lot, JJ. We appreciate you being out there. Thank you. Okay. 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 And once again, folks, you're welcome to call, too, 407-774-8255. Okay, Nostradamus. Jeff, do we have the Nostradamus intro, please?
Nostradamus.
Yeah?
Predict.
Yeah.
The past.
Yes, I do. Because it's so much easier than predicting the future. Say hi to my friend Spaz, who just messaged me and said, predict, what are you predicting? Well, she's listening, so here's what I do. Each week I go through the stories that fell through the cracks that we couldn't talk about during the week because the guests we had on or the conversations we had going on just took up so much of our airtime, we had to save it for Sunday night in a segment we call Nostradamus Predicts the Past. And by the way, thank you, 5-Minute Professor. As you know, we've just been talking about the fact that this administration is trying to make things as painful as possible with the government shutdown. Did you know this? The Lincoln Memorial has streets all around it and is an open-air monument, so it's remaining open. The government's not even trying to close that off. But get this. They have closed off entrance to the Martin Luther King Memorial. That means this administration is racist. They put that memorial on the back of the bus, so to speak. I'm not just kidding, though, because we were talking about the little banner they put up in front of Mount Rushmore. We were kidding. Helicopters being fueled 24/7 to hold a big white banner in front of Mount Rushmore so no one could see it.
Right.
Well, of course that didn't happen. But they did close access to the roads overlooking the place you could stand to watch it. Today I saw pictures of regular, ordinary Americans breaking the law, civil disobedience, taking the traffic cones, throwing them off on the side of the road so they could go up there and see four good presidents.
At Mount Rushmore.
An angry Park Service ranger in Washington State actually came clean, and he said about the harassment that it's a cheap way to do the situation. We've been told to make life as difficult for people as we can. I'll repeat. We've been told to make life as difficult for people as we can. The ranger concluded, it's disgusting. It's a deliberate attempt to make people think the sky is falling when it's not.
It's vindictive.
That's right. Also, guess what else happened this weekend? Well, if you were a Catholic in the military, nothing happened this weekend because the U.S. military furloughed as many as 50 Catholic chaplains. They banned them from celebrating weekend mass. At least one chaplain was told if he engaged in any ministry activity, he would be subject to disciplinary action. In very practical terms, Archbishop Timothy Broglio of the Archdiocese for the Military said, it means Sunday Mass won't be offered. If someone has a baptism schedule, it won't be offered. They're told they cannot function because there are contracted services, and since there's no funding, they can't do it, even if they volunteer. If they volunteer, they risk being arrested.
I think the House is trying to address that this weekend, too.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
This president doesn't seem to Catholics.
I believe with bipartisan support.
Let's hope so. And how about this from Alaska? There is a plea on a teletype from Alaska. It is from the National Weather Service. It is a coded message. It looks like just your typical, you know, here's the weather in south central Alaska. Pressure at the center of the western Gulf surface, low level as dynamic support is once again run out. Well, anyway, if you go through this and you read the first letter in each line, you read the coded message which spells out,
please, what?
Please pay us. They don't know if their checks are coming in, and they're in Alaska. What are they going to do?
Somebody should have let them figure out what phone number to have for the
hotline. Yes, F1U. Go on. Yeah, and that's just a look at some of the things that happened when Nostradamus predicted the past.
Okay. There's another thing that happened this past week that affects someone that we've talked about on this show a couple of times. A guy by the name of Ron Benz, B-I-N-Z, was getting ready to give all of us the Benz, the B-E-N-Z, or whatever you spell that, the scuba diving disease. But he was getting ready to be the new head of the FERC.
Ah.
Yeah, the FERC.
What's the FERC?
The FERC is the F-E-R-C-K. That is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
What's the K for?
FERC. F-E-R-C.
C, okay.
F-E-R-C. K-C-K. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And they normally have just been a low-level, I mean, low, not-do-much organization that basically just kept studies and did statistics and things like that. But under Ron Benz, it was going to be used to help phase out the coal industry and natural gas if he had his way. Fortunately, there were a couple of members from the Democratic side in the Senate. Once again, like I predicted, the Democrats are going to be one of the biggest pains to Obama in his second term because he wanted Benz bad. He wanted Benz to do to the country what he did to Oklahoma, which was basically make the electricity rates there skyrocket. Was it Oklahoma or Colorado? Oh, my gosh, I'm getting those states mixed up. Anyway, Ron Benz withdrew his name this week because it became clear that several high-ranking Democrats on the committee that was considering to his nomination to the FERC, in particular Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, made it quite clear that he would not receive their support. Two big energy-producing states, one oil, Louisiana, and coal, of course, where Manchin is from.
And they think that might happen in their state if he got to...
It would definitely happen in their state. Already the EPA has issued regulations to basically phase out coal-fired energy-producing power plants.
Well, without coal, you don't get electricity, and then how are we going to all run our Priuses?
Oh, well, it's going to be the renewables. We're not going to need anything else.
The solar panel on our Prius.
Yeah, just listen to all the, you know, the global warming types. Mm. Of course, you know, producing solar panels makes for highly toxic waste, and it also makes for much more difficulty in fighting fires where these panels might happen to be, say, on your house or on a building or something like that. So, you know, it's always a panacea until you actually try to do it, and then you find it's more of a pain than a panacea. Okay, let's go to Darren on government shutdown. Darren, thank you for calling tonight.
Oh, good show, guys.
Thank you.
I know that the government shutdown affects 18% of the federal employees. So my question to you guys is, as a sign of sympathy for the Obama administration, is Blair Adams out because that's 18% of your show?
Wow. That's just it. We don't know. He might have been furloughed, you
but
know?
Now we got more cutbacks. We got Carl Jackson, another 18%.
Yeah, and
we got
Tyler Israel.
Yeah. So
we're down to like 57% full right now.
Yeah. So thank you for your concern, though. But, yeah, we're struggling to get through this shutdown. You know, it's inconvenienced us, but we're struggling there.
Last one out. Turn the lights off. Right?
There you go. Hey, thanks, Darren, for being out there.
Well,
we appreciate it.
Hopefully nothing's happened to him, but if it, you know, the next time you see him, I wanted to put that on record so you could call him an Obama supporter.
We'll do that tomorrow when he comes back. He'll be back tomorrow. Okay, thank you, Darren. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and we appreciate all you ladies and gentlemen for being out there with us, too.
You know, Larry, he'll talk 18% more tomorrow just to make up for it.
That's right. And we should be having Abe Cashman with us tomorrow, too.
We sure should, yes.
Yeah. And we'll be talking about the foreign policy issues, which we cannot forget with what's going on in Washington, D.C. Okay, we'll do this when we come back. But I also wanted to talk about Agnew dying.
And guess what we got coming right after the top of the hour? Colonel Danny McKnight's.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yeah, that's right. What am I doing? Okay, folks, you're definitely going to want to stick around. We've got a great hour coming up. That was a pretty good hour we just put in the books, and we got two to go. So, hey, Sunday night, we're on our three-hour tour.
Keep listening. We love that theme song, but we're not going to use it because we have a very short window to talk to our friend Colonel Danny McKnight. Colonel McKnight, welcome. Thank you for getting to us before you get on that airplane.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing excellent. Colonel, how you doing? This is Chris Hart.
Hey, doing all right. Getting ready to finally head back home after 11 days.
Yeah, I guess, it's always good to go back home, but it's a pretty special weekend for you.
Yeah, it's been a special 11 days in the past 4 days, since we got here on Wednesday night have been just phenomenal.
How was the barbecue?
Well, actually, I'd have to really only be fair by telling you about a couple things before we even got to that point, and that was the VFW on Thursday night, which is named after Sergeant Casey Joyce, and we had an event there, and his wife, Deanna, remarried Deanna. Joyce Beck was there with her three kids now, and her husband, who I met, just a super guy. And Casey's family was there. His brother spoke, and it was just one of the most moving moments I've ever ever been a part of. And the whole night, and we lit candles for 19 guys that died over there. That include the two from 10th Mountain Division and the one that died on October the 7th of ours. So it was just an amazing evening, and that was the start. And then Friday we had our own meet and greet, and I got to see guys I hadn't seen in 20 years. And, I'm glad I don't look older, but they do. So, you know, what can I say? We just had a great evening, and then Saturday was the Memorial Mogadishu Run, and I ran that one. Then I walked 1 mile and ran. I ran the three mile after that. And just so you know, I can still outrun some of my guys. So that's a good thing, you know. But then we went to the Perot ranch out there, and Ross Perot himself was the first one to greet us and shake our hands, each and every person as they got there. And his son, Ross Perot Jr., was standing right beside him. And they both spoke, and then they turned the rest of the time over to us, and it was just a unbelievable about 6 hours there. And he loves our military as much today as he did 20 years ago. That's one thing about him for sure. And It's hard to put into words, especially when you get to speak and spend time with the wives of the guys that were killed over there, see some of their kids. It's something we're going to do now every 5 years instead of 20. I told them, don't wait for 20. I don't want to wait that long.
Good idea. Colonel, as you wind this down, what's the one thing that has been most impressed you over this past week?
Well, without a doubt, the most impressive thing is the love, the caring that each and every one of us still have for each other, just like it was 20 years ago fighting in the streets of Mogadishu. It's still there. It might even be greater now than it was then, in all honesty. So I think that's a simple way to put it, the caring and love that we have for each other. There was a lot of hugging and a lot of tears that went on for 4 days.
Captain, did you hear the news today that the U.S. engaged in some raids in both Libya and Somalia?
Yeah, I heard that. I did. I also heard from somebody that knows what was going on over there. But, it was a little different than what the news is reporting. Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that. Anything that you can tell us?
Not really.
Okay.
I'll just say it was a little different.
Okay. Colonel, when you get home tonight, I just want you to remember, you know, that everyone in our audience, I just keep hearing it over and over. They just have tremendous respect for you and love for you and your men and what you guys went through, and really for all the military, because, you know, you guys are so important. Without y'all, there is, you know, United States of America, Constitution or not. If we don't have the military men and wherewithal to back it up, it's not worth it. It's not worth the paper it's written on.
Yep, I agree with you without a doubt. You're exactly right. So, and I was with a lot of people that are, some of those are still doing it, believe it or not.
Some of them are still active?
One of them's getting ready to go back to Afghanistan for 9 months. He's a sergeant major.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Still active duty. That's amazing. That's amazing. How's Ross Perot doing these days?
He's pretty good. He spoke for a while and then left, and we didn't really get to talk to him individually, but I wouldn't expect that.
Yeah.
And then his son is just, he's his father's clone, I think, you know, has the same feelings and everything that his dad does.
Well, sure. Sure. That's great.
So did you get his T-shirt size? That was really the ultimate question.
I've got addresses. We can mail them, guys.
That'll work. Okay.
All right, Colonel. Well, you know, it's been an honor, you know, talking with you, following along with you, I should say, as you've made this journey over the past 11 days. I want to thank you so very much for allowing us to be a part of your life and a part of this reunion. It's been very special to our listeners. I know that for sure.
Well, I appreciate that, but I also want to say thank you all for letting me share it, giving us the opportunity, Linda and I, to share it with you all, because we really wanted to. We weren't sure how well it worked, but we've made it work pretty well between all of us and you, and we thank you all for letting us share that so that the rest of the listeners out there could hear.
And we can't wait until Thursday the 17th, because we're going to have you back in studio and have you and Linda join us out of Positano's again for another nice night of Italian food.
That sounds like a good idea.
Well, Colonel McKnight, another good thing happened over the weekend, and that is FSU whooped the tar out of the Maryland Terrapins, didn't they, buddy?
That's the reason I got my Florida State shirt on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fear the spear.
There you go. Well, once again, Colonel McKnight, I want to thank you so very much. I know you got a plane to catch, so we'll let you go. And God bless you and Linda, and we look forward to seeing you when you're back in town here.
I appreciate it, and I'll finish with the four most important words I know right now. Rangers lead the way.
Amen to that. All right. Good night. Good night, Colonel Danny McKnight. And once again, folks, you can get a copy of his book, and I suggest you do, and especially because the Christmas season is coming up. It'd make a great gift to any young person in particular in your life, because there's a lot in it about leadership skills and about doing the hard right thing instead of the easy wrong thing. And those decisions come up to face us all throughout our lives, where we're given the choice of doing the difficult right thing or doing the easy wrong thing.
And we've got a government that has spent the last several decades doing the easy wrong thing way too often.
That's right. And you can get a copy of Colonel McKnight's book at DannyMcKnight.com. That's Danny McKnight with a K, .com. And just follow the instructions when you get there, and he'll even autograph it and personalize it for you. So, and they're $20 a copy, and part of that goes to the
Wounded Warriors
Foundation. That's right. And they've sent a lot of money, because he sold a number of books to the Wounded Warriors Foundation. Their book is actually, I think, $18.95. So they spend they give the difference between the $20. If you'll just send them $20, they'll give that to the Wounded Warriors. It's a great cause, great book. Highly suggest that you get it for yourself and someone that you love. Streets of Mogadishu, at DannyMcKnight.com. Okay. And, it was an honor to follow along, if you will, with Colonel McKnight as he took us around the country, visiting the graves of Corporate James Cavaco, who he called the quiet professional when he went to Boston, Sergeant Dominique Pila, the one he said enjoyed life when he went to New Jersey, Sergeant Casey Joyce. You heard him just speak of Casey Joyce's widow, who's since remarried. He called him the natural-born leader. PFC Richard Kowalewski, Jr., he was the quiet and the youngest of his Rangers that day. Corporate Jamie Smith, he was loved by everyone. And Sergeant Lorenzo Ruiz, who Colonel McKnight and he watched Phillies and Blue Jays baseball game during the night.
That series.
The night before. It was a World Series.
Joe Carter in the series with the home run.
Yep. Okay, folks, where would we be without men like that and women? Men and women. And once again, finally, at least on 60 Minutes tonight, and I'm not telling you to go there and watch it because they're on in the third hour of our show, but at least they will be.
DVR it if you want.
Yeah. At least they will be doing some sort of coverage on the streets of Mogadishu.
I can't wait till Danny comes in because I want to find out off the air from him what he heard about what happened in the Somalia and Libya raids over these past couple of days.
Well, let's mention that for a few minutes here in case some of our listeners may not have heard. But yes, yesterday, last night, sometime over the past 24 hours, two raids were carried out in Africa, one in Somalia, just, I believe, south of Mogadishu, right on the coast. And they took out, by that I believe I mean they killed, or at least that so they evidently took no captives in this raid. And he was a member of Al-Shabaab, and that is who was behind the Kenya Mall attack last week or the week before. And also Al-Shabaab, I believe, played a role in the Benghazi attack, if I'm not mistaken. There was a raid in Libya that did not have anything to do with the Benghazi attack. It did have to do with the African embassy bombings, which were back in 1998 when Bill Clinton was still president. If you remember, those were carried out by Al-Qaeda, the American embassies in Africa, where there were several hundred killed and many more hundreds wounded. And that was prior to the attack on the coal, both of which were acts of war, and Bill Clinton could have gone wholehearted out after bin Laden, after either or both of those attacks. He did not. And then finally, of course, they escalated to 9/11. And finally, George Bush did go after bin Laden.
So in Libya, they got the suspect. They captured him alive, which is great because now we can try him here in the United States in a civil court.
That's great for everybody but Barack Obama. It creates a whole other problem for Barack Obama.
What's he going to do with him?
What's he going to do with him? Right. He doesn't want to send him to Guantanamo Bay. He doesn't want to interrogate him in any meaningful fashion. I mean, and then that, he just assumed, I'm sure, would have killed him.
He could send him to Egypt for rendition. Oh, he can't send him to Egypt now, can he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I wonder if the use of these special forces was something that Danny was meant when he said that cryptic remark, because why wouldn't they have just used a drone? Okay, folks, just something to wonder. When we come back, we'll be talking more about this and a lot of other things. And later on in this hour, don't forget, we have the lady from GLOW, gorgeous ladies of wrestling, Patricia Summerlin, going to be with us.
American Adversaries, we're here. You're there. Keep it there.
This is professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL. Tough guy.
All right. That's Hacksaw Jim Duggan, our great friend. And he'll be back in town, Mike was telling me the other day, in about a month or so.
Cool.
Okay. Welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is Sunday, and a little storm just kind of blew through here. We were watching the trees waving around outside, but now it's all settled down out there. So just be careful if you're heading out on the roads, going to church or coming from church or something like that. You might come up, it might be just dry as a bone, and all of a sudden you come up on a little rainstorm.
That's so Florida.
Just be careful. Just be careful when you're out there. And by the way, folks, You know, the holiday gift season is coming up. It's always a good time, you know, to give gifts to somebody you love. And a great gift to give is jewelry, you know, the gift that keeps, you know, keeps its value. And a great place to go for your jewelry wants and needs is Lake Mary Jewelers. That's where our friend Pasquale Barba has partnered up with Carl Scarlotta, who's been a longtime jeweler here in the Orlando area. And Lake Mary Jewelers is right there at the intersection of Lake Mary and Lake Emma Roads. It's just, if you go, if you're heading east on I-4 and you get off at Lake Mary, it's right there on your right. You can't miss it. Just look for the signs. They'll buy gold. They'll sell, obviously, jewelry and gold at great, just wholesale prices, the best prices that you'll find in town. And, of course, they can do repairs, and they can also make jewelry there. So it's a great place for your jewelry needs and desires. That's Lake Mary Jewelers. You can give them a call at 407-878-6230. That's 407-878-6230. Or just drop in and say hey to Pasquale or Jamie. That's who you'll find at the counter.
Does he really sit back there with that little jeweler's glasses?
Oh, yes, he does.
With the little...
Yeah.
I wonder if he puts in the basil into those pizzas the same way. One little leaf at a time, lovingly.
I don't think so, but go on over to Lake Mary Jewelers and check them out. I think that you'll find everything there to be the where the price is right, so to speak. Okay, let's go ahead and do our Who Said That contest, and so we won't have to kick this off during the interview. Of course, you're welcome to call at any time in the interview or whatever if you think who knows who said our quote. And, of course, you know how to play the Who Said That contest, or if you don't, it's real easy. All we do is we read a quote. You simply call us up and tell us who said it in order to win the prizes. And the prize is a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant in all of Central Florida, and an American Adversaries t-shirt. So it's real easy. 407-774-8255 is the number. And this one's real short and sweet and kind of cute. I hope you like it. If you know who said this, give us a call. Who said, if you can't beat them, arrange to have them beaten? If you can't beat them, arrange to have them beaten. If you know who said that and you haven't won anything for a couple of 3 months, give us a call, 407-774-8255, 407-774-8255. If you can't beat them, arrange to have them beaten. Okay, and one of the reasons why I chose that quote is... Here's Barack Obama, doesn't seem to be able to beat the Republicans finally, you know. So he's arranging to have them beaten by the press, by Wall Street, by whoever, you know, the people who are being inconvenienced, that he's making sure you're being inconvenienced. He wants you to go beat up on those mean old nasty rascally Republicans. And so, you know, it just shows, if you will, his own incompetence, that he has to go to these extraordinary lengths to vilify these people.
We have guests here on my cell phone. My friend Spaz says, Dennis said that. No, I didn't. Come on. And my wife Sharon's listening, too. Hi, honey. She's listening from New York on the computer.
Oh, great. Hey, Sharon. If you can't beat them, arrange to have them beaten. If you know who said that, call us at 407-774-8255. And certainly, you know, I have said this. I alluded to that. Well, actually, I said it, you know, prior to last year's election. I said on numerous occasions, I thought Barack Obama didn't even want to be president. And
yeah, you were talking about his body language, his posture. He just didn't look.
No.
He looked beaten.
He does. Well, I extrapolated the wrong thing. I think I read correctly that the man does not like being president of the United States, and I'll elaborate on that in a second. But I erred in extrapolating that to mean that he wouldn't suffer through getting re-election again, re-elected again, right?
So he knew he was going to win, and he wasn't looking forward to it.
In a way, yes. Yeah. Okay, he does not like this stuff right here. Okay, that's why he's walked away from it. His position of no negotiation is, don't bother me with that, is basically what he's saying. Okay, and he's also being very clever about what Rush Limbaugh calls the Limbaugh theorem, I believe, and that is that Obama governs but doesn't look like he's, makes it look as though he's not governing. Take, for instance, the debt ceiling debate. Okay, he's come out and said, I'm not going to negotiate. I'm not going to even talk about that. So basically, he's left it up now to Congress, in particular the House of Representatives, to raise the debt ceiling. Okay, well, there's two decisions you have to make when you raise the debt ceiling, right? The first decision is whether or not you raise the debt ceiling. What is the second decision?
How much?
How much, exactly. He doesn't want that to be tied to him, right? He wants nothing to do with anything that happens to be a hard right thing to do.
He'll wait for them to come up with a number, and then he'll criticize it.
Exactly. He sticks to doing what he's comfortable doing, and that is campaigning and trashing people. Okay, he's very good at those things. He's very good at campaigning and trashing things and people. Okay, he is not very good at leading. He does not know how to negotiate. So basically, he excuses himself from those responsibilities. The unfortunate thing is, that's a big part of the job.
You know, I wish I had a job where I could pick and choose which parts of the job I like and which ones I don't, and just not do the ones I don't like. My boss wouldn't like that, do you think?
I don't think so, no.
And neither does the American public by growing numbers.
Yeah.
Do they like that? Okay. And that's another part of the beauty of the Republicans having stumbled by hook or crook into whatever it is they're doing right now, is that they are showing each and every day more and more what less and less of a president we have. Okay? Because the guy is just not up to the task. Eventually, people look at him and say, look, guy, you're the dude really in charge here, right? And that's what you've been telling us for 5 years, right? And now you're telling us you ain't going to have anything to do with it? All right? At some point, people understand that the president of the United States is, guess what? The president of the United States. And he must therefore act as such, whether the man or woman likes it or not.
I've been having a problem. Whenever I put a post up for American Adversaries on Facebook, I always spell Obama's name, not with the letter O, but with the number zero.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. There's no such thing as a lowercase zero. Because, like you said, he's getting smaller every time you look at him.
Yeah, sure enough. Absolutely. Okay, well, let's see. All right, looks like we have
Lee from Orlando.
Lee from Orlando calling on the line. Hey, Lee, thank you for calling tonight.
Well, it's a pleasure. I love your show.
Well, thank you so very much. Thank you very much. It says on here you think you have the correct answer to who said if you can't beat them, arrange to have them beaten. Who said?
Well, it could only... could only be George Carlin.
You're so right. It was George Carlin. Yeah, the old political sage himself. How did you know that? I thought that would be a little tough.
It sounds like him, and I Googled him recently, a week or so ago, because he had some funny stuff on.
Yeah.
Well, he's dead. You Googled the dead man. You know
like
that.
A pendulum both ways. Sometimes he says things that are absolutely conservative, and sometimes a downright stupid and liberal.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a great comedian, though, sure miss him. But you're absolutely right. It was George Carlin who said, if you can't beat them, arrange to have them beaten.
He did a beautiful thing on global warming. You can get that on YouTube.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, you're absolutely right. We should bring that back up. And coincidentally or not, I don't know if you believe in conspiracy theories, but it wasn't too very long after that he died rather suddenly.
Really?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah, because he made great fun of the global warming people. We really need to get that. Thank you for reminding me of that, Lee. That's excellent.
Well, he couldn't get stiff because global warming would have prevented that. So.
All right, Lee, you're a man after my heart. All right, looks like we have your information. As long as we have your shirt size and stuff, we'll get that out to you right away. Thanks,
Thank
Lee.
Thank you. Love your show. Keep it up. Thanks.
Thank you, Lee. We appreciate you being out there.
The American Adversaries at the halfway point. We thank you for listening. All we ask of you is 90 more minutes so we can imbue all our knowledge to you. Be right back.
The bad man of world championship wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American Adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
We are great guys, aren't we?
Sure enough.
Noster Dennis here with Christopher Hart and Johnny Gantz and Jeff Sennis. And wouldn't you know, There's too many men in this studio. We need to get a lady involved in the mix here. Okay?
Amen.
Can I introduce her?
Sure enough.
Go for it.
Okay, from the gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Wow.
Jeff even has that music queued up for her. Trisha Sutherland, also called Sunny the California Girl. Welcome to the American Adversaries.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Good. Good.
We're doing great. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. It's actually this afternoon over here in sunny California.
Oh, that's right. You're 3 hours behind us. Well, it just rained here, but it looks like it's going to be a beautiful evening anyway.
All right.
Hey, Sunny, I want to thank you for being with us tonight. Appreciate it. Now, you're a gorgeous lady of wrestling, I understand.
That's right. We're all champions in the ring.
As I told Chris, that's very distinctly different than being a diva. Those are two entirely different things, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Well, we were before the divas. You know, we sort of paved the way as Mae Young paved our way. And it goes on and on. Hopefully the divas aren't the only, the ending of it. Let's hope that they show other girls and the strength of all women to be able to get in the ring and do something athletic and show their strengths and be a character and to look good and be physical, but to show, hey, women can do it too. It's not just a man's sport.
Should we call you Patricia or Sunny?
Patricia or Sunny, whatever.
Okay.
Patricia. Don't call me late for dinner.
Okay, there you go. All right, Patricia, I'm Chris. Chris Hart, and that was Nostra Dennis who introduced you, and we also have Johnny Guns in the studio with us tonight.
All right.
Johnny is monitoring your Twitter page, so thank you for tweeting us.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. What made you decide to get into professional wrestling?
Oh, boy, that's the question. My father was a big wrestling fan and also had known many of them, of the old school wrestling like Freddie Blassie, Andre the Giant, the Destroyer. I was in the Destroyer mask, the original. I had no clue. I was in 3 months old in diapers with it over my head and the pictures. So as I grew up, I'm like, what am I wearing this mask for, Daddy? He said, well, that's the Destroyer's mask. And I'm like, okay. So we were at the Olympic Auditorium. I grew up there pretty much in that realm. And one day I was actually a swimwear model through my upbringing. 12, 13, started, modeling. And my father's watching this wrestling show, and it was all women. It turns out to be GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. He calls me out of my room, and he goes, you got to watch this. I'm like, oh, no, what is this? And I'm like a little waif. I'm a model. I have no clue about toughness, sports, Well, I was athletic. I was a track runner, but that was the extent. So he goes, you can do this. Why aren't you sending your headshot, honey? Look at these girls. And they seem to be in character. And I said, okay, Daddy, well, I don't know. So I went and thought about sending my headshot. Sure enough, went and auditioned in North Hollywood. And then we ended up going to Vegas, and you go through a military-type training for six weeks.
It's like a boot camp, right?
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. Push-ups, militaries, I didn't know how to do a man's push-up. I'm like, are you kidding me? But, you got to do those things if you want in. And to be in showbiz, to be on TV, well, yeah. I said, I can do this. And they give you a character. And for me, I was already blonde, tan. I lived the California life. Going to the beach, I was always up and sunny and laughing and just, happy-go-lucky. So for me, my character represented California, and I didn't really have to do too much of a change other than to, buff up, add a little more weight so I wouldn't get killed in the ring. And, we went through our gymnastics training, because we do that as kids, not,
sure.
In our early 20s.
Sure.
Like, oh, my gosh. So...
Well,
all over again.
Nonetheless, but you make it sound a little bit easier than it probably was. I mean, I'm sure not all the girls. I'm sure not all the girls make it. Through the training camp.
No, there was girls that tried out from all over the world, and there was only 36 that made it. So there was a lot of heartbreaks. Near attempt of suicide. Let me tell you, it was brutal, brutal, brutal. Yeah.
And is the physical part of it the most
ability? A lot of girls couldn't pass athletic ability, much less even if they got in. And if the character wasn't chosen, then you're out.
Is athletics the main part of it, or does personality come into how they select you as well?
Oh, you've got to. Absolutely. Yeah, because, you know, if you watched it, it was more like a slapstick. It was wrestling and hee-haw put together. So you have to bring out your character to full force. And you have to be able to have that entertainment ability, because you've got the camera right on you, because, you know, we were live when we had our matches at the end of the week for Television International, you know. And the kids want to see that character. And they really believe, like, you know, that's Sunny. I'm Sunny. Beastie, the Road Warrior. She really had that growl. She, you know, had to go into that character.
Sure.
And Mohawk, she had to shave off her long blonde hair, you know, put on another 20 pounds. You know, there's a lot of changes with some of the girls. So
I bet your dad was proud of you, though, wasn't he?
Yes, and you know what? He was ill and in the hospital.
Oh.
He never got to see a match. And
This
was the sad part. But as he was, as I was in his hospital room, actually, towards the latter part, I said, Daddy, I did it. And he, you know, he was aware, and that was the greatest thing, you know.
Well, that's fantastic. Are you still wrestling?
Here and there. I actually teach a lot of the girls. I enjoy it. You know, it's like getting on a bike. It's in your blood now.
Right.
But let me tell you, would I do any monkey tosses or any pile drivers, which I was injured quite a few times in that.
Right.
And thank God they really don't do that anymore in wrestling.
You know,
but in our team, we sure did. It was like Sunny was always upside down and a pile driver was Beastie. But, you know, yeah, I just don't do any of the real crazy moves, you know, because now I'm 20 years older and a little bit wiser, I'd like to say. If I attempt that, I don't want to end up back in the hospital. My bones probably won't heal this time.
Yeah, it'll take a lot longer anyway, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't Mae West still with us?
Is she? Yes.
Yeah,
I thought so.
Yeah, every now and then she shows up on WWE, and I had not heard of it. So that's great. And she, of course, and the fabulous Moolah were, you know, really laid the groundwork, if you will, for women wrestlers, didn't they?
Oh, yes. They were the movement. They trained a lot of the men, you know.
Oh, is that right? No, I did not know that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was always a female that started this whole thing. Pretty much. That was the training of the old school wrestling. Yeah.
Now, Tricia, one of the owners of GLOW at its inception was Jackie Stallone, Sylvester's mom?
Jacqueline Stallone was our manager.
Wow.
The Good Girls manager.
Mm-hmm.
And Aunt Kitty, who is now deceased, she was the Bad Girls manager. Jacqueline Stallone was not an owner. Everyone was thinking she was the owner of GLOW, but no.
So she was, in essence, one of the GLOW girls, but she was a manager rather than a wrestler.
Correct.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. I had not known that until Jeff, our producer on the other side of the glass, who first made contact with you, brought up the old Family Feud episode where the GLOW girls were on there against some wrestlers, including Sting and some others.
Yes. Yeah, we were able to actually grace a lot of the shows. I myself wasn't on that. But we had Donahue, Married with Children. You know, we were pretty much out there. The game shows. Family Feud was hilarious, though. So I heard.
Yeah, it was fun to watch it. It was.
Yes.
And what are you doing with yourself now? I understand maybe you're still modeling?
Yeah, well, you know, I hopefully am going to do another issue of Playboy, which is will be my own. That's my last hee-haw at my age to represent women and their families in a glamorous light. And the old 60s pinup, where it has a little pictorial of their family, their grandchildren, women in the world that have great jobs, whether they be an LAPD officer, ambulance driver, firewoman, you know, anything, housewife, but natural, you know, just badass women is what I'm saying.
Now, did I get this right?
Yeah.
Are you in the issue in which the cover has Gene Simmons?
Yes,
wow.
I am. I am, and proud to say, because I love those guys, and I love Kiss, of course.
And that issue's not out yet, is it? I haven't.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's been out.
Oh,
that was back in 1999 when that entered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the most First of all, the cover of Playboy, Gene Simmons was the first male to ever be on a cover.
That's right.
So that makes that issue very significant.
And now
afterwards,
he owns a...
Of course, Hef was on.
And now he owns an arena football team in L.A., and they might need some cheerleaders.
Right. There you go. Hmm. I know. See? Isn't that awesome? Yeah, I'm so glad. They just are... Those two, well... Paul Stanley is brilliant, equally as Gene Simmons, but those two together are masterful. That's all I got to say. And I think they have a restaurant as well in Manhattan Beach, I want to say.
Is that right?
So,
yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
So they're cooking as always. And, of course, they're still touring.
Yeah, you know? That's right. As a matter of fact, they played at the Arena Bowl football game here just last month or a month.
Yeah,
a month or, yeah, in August, I guess, 2 months ago now. But it's a great group, great group of guys too. And I loved watching his show Family Jewels on TV. Any ideas of the Glow Girls having a reality TV show?
Well, there is one, and we're trying to see if it'll get picked up. Which I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's in the makes, and it's called Defem Action. Action, with the Glow Girls are actually judges for new Glow Girls that are coming into the ring with a type of MMA boxing mixed with wrestling sports. And hopefully it'll get picked up. It's at the film festival, so wish us luck. That will be our biggest thing. And that's when you'll see all of us Glow Girls enter into that.
Okay, that'd be great. By the way, we're coming up on a break. I want you to stay around, if you will, through the break. And sure. But before we go to the break, does Glow Wrestling, is there a website or something like that people can visit?
There is. There is a Glow website, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. And I believe that would be, you'll see Babe the Farm's Daughter. That's one of her sites there. Now, we all have our own individual sites where you'll see Little Egypt Glow, Gremlina Glow. So you'll see all the Glow Girls have their individual websites. And, of course, on Facebook, they have their own individual, as I as well.
Okay.
So you can check out, gorgeousdaysofwrestling.com.
Yeah, Johnny and I are watching Tanya flexing on the cover there. Okay.
That's gorgeousladiesofwrestling.com.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
So, that's the longer version of Glow, everyone. So that's what that means. Not glamorous, not glorious, but gorgeous.
There you go. All right. Patricia Summerlin, Sunny, is going to stay with us through the break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with her. 407-774-8255 is the number. I am Christopher Hart, along with Nostra Dennis and Johnny Guns. And with Sunny Patricia Sutherland, we are live.
Keep it tuned, guys.
We're coming right back.
Simmons is on.
This is us. Oops.
Yes, it is.
Yes, this is us.
Hey!
The
microphones do work.
What is that? On air. What is on air? Is that an airline?
On
air.
On air.
We are back. We are the American Adversaries. We are live. It is Sunday evening here in Central Florida. We want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us on 660 WORL, 660WORL.com. And don't forget, folks, if you miss part of our show or just want to go back and hear a replay of it over and over again, go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and hit the archive button, and it'll take you right to Podbeam, where you can go zero right in on the segment you want to listen to if you want to do it that way. Welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. Christopher Hart here, along with Nostra Dennis and Johnny Guns. And we have Patricia, Sunny the California Girl, on the line with us. And Patricia, thanks again for being with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, everyone.
All right.
Awesome. You guys are great.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so very much. And of course, this doesn't have to be the last time we do this. We always, like to strike up friendships here on the American Adversaries and have people revisit with us. And we certainly would like you to do that as well.
All right. Would love to.
Would you mind if I played something for you that was set on the floor of the Senate and then just get you to comment about it? Because it involves professional wrestling. Would you mind?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Jeff, hit it for us, will you please, sir?
That's actually the preferred outcome. To have a vote, but yet to have the result be business as usual continues in Washington. You know, it's a little bit like the World Wrestling Federation.
wrestling matches where it's all rigged. The outcome is predetermined. They know in advance who's going to win and lose, and it's all for show.
Of course, that was Senator Ted Cruz when he was giving his marathon speech a week ago. What do you think about that? I mean, really, that has been why you heard the wrestling bumps. You know the character of our show. We're a political talk show for the most part, but we see that politics and professional wrestling have a lot in common. Now, he zeroed in on sort of what we call the backroom deals, but also, of course, there's the grandstanding, the showboating, the focus in the ring, if you will, the ring of the spectacle in the ring. And then, of course, you have the announcers who try to keep the people, you know, informed and up to date as to who's the bad guy and who's the good guy. Can you see the same sort of logic in that we and Ted Cruz see?
You know, I'd like to say that, but let me tell you right now, the way the government's going with the whole mess and the government shutdown, it's like they're throwing a temper tantrum, okay? And you can't do that in the ring. You just, that's it. You get asked. You're out. So as far as play-by-plays, prediction, gosh. You know, I think that was the wrong thing to say. Everyone thinks that. You know, and here's the question that I get asked a lot. Is wrestling fake? And I'm like, I go, this is what I say. And, you know, there's a T-shirt out on it. It's perfect. And I love the saying. It's like, no, wrestling's not fake. People are. And that in itself speaks volumes. And, you know, our Congress, let me tell you. Right now, I don't even know if they know if they're real or fake with what's going on. So that's my my take on that. I have a lot of issues with Mr. Obama.
Well, I hear that. I hear that. You know, the likeness that we're trying to say is that both wrestling and politics, if you will, reflect the theater that we call life. And as you say, a lot of people are fake in life. And, of course, you find that in politics. And I think that it's the theater and the sort of the spectacle that is the, really the great similarity between the two. But certainly, if I would say either one would be more real than the other one, I would have to say wrestling is a whole lot more real than what we see going on in politics. Would you concur with that?
Oh, absolutely. A1, there's much more injuries. I'd like to see some of those guys go at it, you know. They might as well, but I think if they did, they would get a lot more done. I'd like to see Governor Brown and, let's say, you know, our Governor Brown here in Cali and good old Obama get in the ring and do a few toss-ups over the driver's license for immigrants. You know, that would be interesting, you know. There's always, you know, first there's always an outcome in anything, but can we really predict that? You know, people think, oh, in wrestling, they know who wins. Not necessarily. And a lot of times, the play-by-plays, let's just say it was, and we knew what was coming next. A lot of times, if there's a slip-up, it's all about timing in wrestling, first of all.
Sure.
If that timing's off, you're done.
Yeah, what is Hacksaw? Our friend Hacksaw Jim Duggan was talking about that. He said when someone slips and does something they're not supposed to do, their opponent always gives them a little payback.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that if you're able to, that is. It depends on how bad that slip-up is
right. And
your opponent. For instance, like mine, when I was in the match with Beastie, I was in the pile driver. We're all on the move, and here we are in a coliseum of probably, I want to say, this is Biloxi, Mississippi, and it made headlines, so I know this very well. It was on the news. They carried me out in the stretcher, and it was probably 60 to 70,000 people. Okay, and it's all just going. Everything's great. I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm ready. She let me down a split second before, and that's all it took.
And that was not a fake stretcher, was it?
Yeah, it was not fun because guess what? I didn't see anything after that. I seen stars and I was out. They thought my neck broke, and here comes the paramedics. Now, I came to, and all I heard was, Sonny, are you okay? You know, but I had a serious neck injury from that. So, you know, it's that split second, and that could be deadly. I could have broke my neck.
Yeah.
You know? It's a very dangerous move. In fact, my tag, well, I don't know if you've watched Queenie, Hollywood and Bonnie, any of my matches. Queenie had one match, and she had to go back home to Tennessee because she froze up in a maneuver
in a monkey toss, and her whole shoulder popped out the bone.
Oof.
Boom, that's it, because you can't freeze up in any of the moves.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So, very, very dangerous.
Yeah, you have to know what you're doing when you get in between the ropes there.
Absolutely.
There's no question about that. And certainly part of the rigorous training is learning how to counter moves and how to take the falls, so to speak.
Yes, the bumps, how to land, the forward bumps, the backward bumps, and how they start is through a lot of somersaults. If they start you back in grade school, like we all did. You're on the mat, you do your little rolls, and that's how it starts, and you build up from there. But you cannot have any hesitation. You can't have fear, basically, especially when you're on a trampoline and you're doing mid-air flips. You're like, you can't. You just got to let that go and just have confidence and know that you can do this. Or otherwise, you have no business in the ring, and you're going to hurt your opponent, including yourself, you know. So it is all about focus, skill, of course, your physical ability. And that's why I had to build up, and I was in the gym much more because I came in thinner because, again, I was a model. I wasn't prepared to be a wrestler. So, you know, but it worked out fine. I had a blast, and I was blessed to be with Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. It was a great, great company to be with and promotion, and was very successful.
Yeah, Tricia, out of the current crop of wrestlers, WWE, WCW, wherever, who entertains you the most watching them?
Well, I would say, you know, I like the WWE guys, but I like the older school, Roddy Piper, mm-hmm. of course Hulk Hogan. You know, we were all in that bunch at the same time. So when they come out now and perform, I have to say those guys, you just love them. Randy Orton. Now the Divas. There's some good wrestlers. I like the new Snuka girl coming out, of course, because there's a good family, a good line, and the Hart family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's many good wrestlers, but I think WWE, they're getting a little bit too much entertaining now. You know, they're doing too much moves fast, and there's just not enough sell. And what we mean sell is you got to sell it. You know, that takes all that, like, wow, did that really hurt? And they just did a kick and missed by a split second. They're not so much focused.
Right.
And I'd like to see them slow it down and do more of that.
More showmanship.
You know?
Now,
hello?
Yes, we're still here.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, Nasha Dennis has just made a comment, more showmanship. You mentioned before we let you go here. You mentioned the now I guess illegal aliens will be able to get driver's licenses in California. Has that gone all the way through? Did Governor Brown sign that into law?
Oh, he's pushing it through. I mean, you know, and it's like we have a joke here. It's like if Nancy Pelosi had all of them in her front yard, you know, and they come up and they said, "No, you can't touch us. We're immigrants. We're immigrants." You know, think about that. It's like, what is it coming to? I mean, you know, it's hard enough as Americans to get driver's license. So, you know, I think that's a sham. It's just not right. Not right.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. We agree with there for sure. Yeah. Governor Jerry Brown, is he still very popular in California? I mean, his popularity seems to never really diminish, no matter what he does.
Well, I think it is now. Due to this, I don't know too many people are happy with him right now on him trying to push this through. But, you know, yeah, again, he's an old school. He's been around and everybody knows of him. You know, I like him, but I don't agree with what he's doing with this illegal immigrant license that, you know, everyone should have driving privileges. It's going to bring more corruptness. Now they're going to think they can do more illegal things, you know, or
yeah.
bring in more people over the border.
Yeah.
Hey, we can do it now because we're driving legal. That's the topic.
It's rewarding bad behavior is what it is.
Yeah.
Hey, Patricia, thanks for spending some time with us tonight. And once again, we'd like to have you back in the future. Would that be all right?
Absolutely. I would love to.
All right. Thank you so very much. And we'll be in touch with you because we'd like you to do a bump for us if you don't mind.
Ooh.
Sure.
Not take a bump.
Yeah, see, you can do a bump to us, too. I don't think I'd mind that either. All right. Thank you.
Fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
That's right. We are the Bad Bad Boys, and we were messing around with a glow lady here in the last segment. That was a lot of fun talking with Patricia.
Mm-hmm. Very respectfully messing around with her. Nice lady. She could throw you around the room, Chris.
I wouldn't mind it a bit. Okay. We are the American Adversaries. We got another hour to go in our three-hour tour here on Sunday night. Want to thank you folks for being with us very much. Thank you. 407-774-8255 is the number. And keep that number handy because not this segment, but in the next segment, we're going to give away a bottle of Roxy Pacifics. And, folks, this is great stuff, and I'll tell you more about it in the next segment in case you hadn't heard about it. But you're going to want to get some in case you don't have any. Okay, you're also going to want to stay with us because we've got a lot more to talk about before the night is over. Johnny Guns has some WTF that we're going to get to shortly, and Lair's closing the course before we close out tonight. But right now we have another caller on the line. Let's go ahead and take the caller. This is John from Oak Hill. Hey, John, thank you for calling tonight.
Thank you for letting me speak.
That's
I had a little thought cross my mind, and everybody thinks these cute little things to describe Obama. Well, instead of calling him Commander-in-Chief, I think he's more of a demander and thief.
Write that down.
That's good.
That's got to go up on our Facebook page. Excellent. I think you're absolutely right. He is a demander and a thief in his own way. You're absolutely right.
No doubt about it.
Hey, that's great. Great work. We appreciate that, John. I tell you what, John, you live over in Oak Hill. That's over on the coast. Do you ever get over these ways?
Yeah, I go to the VA over there.
Oh, you do? Okay. How about next time you come over to the VA, you also go to Cafe Positano on us?
That would be excellent.
Okay. Well, stay on the line and give Jeff your information, and we'll send you a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, you're quite welcome, and thank you. I love that. Demander and thief.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that kind of basically sums it up, doesn't it?
Well, he's a lot closer to that than being a real, honest-to-God commander-in-chief.
Doesn't have much command of anything.
No, but he sure does go around making a lot of demands. Yeah, so that's for sure. Speaking of demands, this is a good way to segue into this next subject I wanted to talk about, which is called sue and settle. At least that's the label that's being given to this practice that is being done, you might say, in coordination between green groups and the administration.
I thought sue and settle were two different things. You either sued someone or you settled with them.
Well, this is sort of reminiscent of the Defense of Marriage Act, okay, and which was, you know, the case was held in front of the Supreme Court, and the Defense of Marriage Act had to be defended by the House of Representatives, okay, because the administration, who would normally defend an American, a United States federal law in federal court via the Solicitor General, chose not to defend that law. In other words, abrogated its responsibility as Solicitor General in defending the federal law, the Defense of Marriage Act. You recall all that?
Yeah, kind of sort of.
Okay. So, in other words, whereas the federal government was supposed to be one of the adversaries in a court case, it decided to go ahead and side with the other side and bypass the adversarial process. Okay? Well, that's basically what sue and settle is all about. Here's how it works, okay? What's one of the main ways environmentalists have been able to hold up commercial or private projects? Let's say a dam in California, a hydroelectric dam. What's one of the ways they hold it up, Johnny?
Putting species on the endangered list?
You got it. Okay? And if the species is already on the endangered list, it makes it real easy for the environmentalist groups to stop a project. It's been done here in Florida with gopher turtles and a couple of other species.
The Australian snail darter.
The bird, exactly. And so if it's already on the endangered species list, no problem. Okay. However, there are projects going on in the country where there aren't any endangered species being affected. So, what do? They go out and they find out what the species are that are indigenous to the area that they want to have banned from, let's say, oil drilling. And they find out that it's a specific kind of snail, or a specific kind of worm, or a specific kind of anything.
A fly even.
Anything. Any insect, living organism, mammal, you name it. Fish. Whatever. Plant, even. Okay? Then what they do is they petition the federal government to have this species listed as endangered. All right? That's the start of the process, to petition the government to have the species listed as endangered. Well, the federal government says, okay, we'll consider it, we'll put it in the hopper, we'll start the process, okay? Which is sort of like saying the check's in the mail when the government tells you that. But anyway, let's get back to the point. So here's what happens. The environmentalist group knows that that's what the federal government is going to say. So then they go to the federal courts and sue. This is part of the sue and the settlement. This is the first, you know, part of the sue and settle. They sue the federal government to speed up the process because this is a species that may be extinct by the time the federal government gets around to declaring it endangered, right? This is the logic behind the lawsuit. So then they find a sympathetic federal judge who will go along with it and say, okay, let's put a hold on this project. So then the government comes along and says, okay, in order to settle the lawsuit, we will go ahead and list the species as being endangered. So they bypass the regular regulatory process of having to scientifically prove that a species is actually endangered. None of that is included in the process, you see. It's all about the legal process of suing the federal government and then having the federal government voluntarily settle with the environmentalist groups because that's what our liberal federal government wants to do in the first place. So they bypass the regulatory process, they speed up the whole thing, and the whole object is now they're going to start going after the fracking process and the oil drilling and the thing that's really begin to turn not only geopolitics but save the American economy, which is the energy boom that's going on in this country.
That's an ingenious manipulation of our current legal system.
Mm-hmm.
They're brilliant.
Yep. Kind of like instead of commander-in-chief, demander-in-thief.
Yeah.
They are basically stealing from private and state-owned properties the rights to be able to use those properties because of some bogus claim of endangered species. And, of course, once anything gets listed as endangered species, all the bleeding hearts come out. Oh, my God. It's an endangered species, and they have no concept whatsoever of whether it should actually be an endangered species.
And once it's on that list, Johnny and I are reading this story here, 97% of the species on that list never come off.
Never come off, regardless. Yep. Regardless. Just look at alligators here in Florida. Okay? Those doggone things breed like nothing else.
Okay? People have them in their kitchens.
They are ever doggone where. All right? And look at the size of the ones they're starting to catch now, too. It's not unusual for these 12, 13, 14-foot alligators. These are monsters being caught in Florida.
And six feet is small.
Why? Because they were put on the endangered species list. And it worked. They came back strong. They don't need to be on the list anymore. Okay? But they still are. So you have to have a special permit and can only hunt them at certain times of the year. Otherwise, if you kill one of the suckers, you're going to go to prison. Even though they're highly dangerous and they are existing in numbers that they have never existed in this state before in a long time. So you're absolutely right. And Johnny Guns is thank you, Johnny, for doing the research right there as we speak. But, yeah, once you get on the endangered species list, it's like Hotel California. You know, yeah. You can check out any time you like, but you
can never leave. It's
like welfare.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like any government program.
And like Obamacare. Okay, and we'll be talking more about this as the weeks go on, but that's one of the most insidious parts of Obamacare, and we kind of touched on it last week during our drive time show, because this is something that both Ted Cruz and Barack Obama both know, and that is that once people get on Obamacare, it's going to be hard to get them off. It's going to be hard to get them off, because they are going to find the incentive to get off to be far less than the incentive to stay on. And it is therefore another problematic entitlement program, which will guarantee a lot of votes for Democrats or anybody who stands up for it, but it's going to ruin the rest of us in the process.
Now, there's no need to legislate if you can regulate.
That's right. And when you don't even have to go through the regular process to regulate, you just sue and settle. It makes that a whole lot easier too, doesn't it? So, we got our work cut out for us, folks. That's why we got to, you know, hunker down and keep the nose to the grindstone, so to speak. But sue and settle. What a great insidious plot to bypass what they would call the democratic process.
Democratic, yeah. It's democratic.
In name only. In name only.
And you know the species that they're trying to get on the list.
Is
the prairie chicken.
Never even
got a picture of it right here. The prairie chicken.
What will we do without prairie chickens?
I have no. I didn't even know there was such
what
a thing.
What do we do with them?
I'd heard of prairie
Are
dogs.
They good eating?
Maybe we can petition Chick-fil-A to change the cow sign to eat more prairie chicken.
There you go.
It does look tasty.
It does.
Oh, my gosh.
I know what I'm having for dinner tonight.
A little prairie chicken. You know, some yard bird, as they used to say. Some old yard bird. Okay. All right, folks. When we come back, we'll be giving away a bottle of Roxy Pacifics, and we have some more stuff to talk about as well. Did you hear that?
Oh, that's good stuff.
Don't you waste that stuff now.
No. I got a whole nother bottle.
Okay, Roxy Pacifics is great stuff. 407-774-8255 is the number. If you got something you'd like to get off your chest, now's the time to call. 407-774-8255.
We are the American Adversaries. It's a Sunday night edition. Tomorrow, a little program note, we might or might not be preempted by the beginning of Rays baseball, but that's all right. Tune in at 5 o'clock right here, 660 WRL. We will tell you where to go and what to do. You don't even have to think. We will tell you where to go and what to do. Do I sound like a Democrat now or what?
Demon crap.
We'll be right back.
Waiting for the break of day.
Back from the dressing room to re-stretch their tights. Here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Oh, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are squarely in this third hour of our three-hour tour, the American Adversaries. You've got Jeff Sinas behind the glass. You've got Christopher Hart, Nostradamus, and myself, Johnny Guns, holding down the fort. And right now, it's time for some free stuff. We know you all love the free stuff. And here comes a bottle of Roxy Pacifics your way. Tell more about it, Chris Hart.
That's right, folks. This is great stuff. You definitely need a bottle of this to have around the house just for those everyday occurrences, whether it be a burn from your oven or a scrape or a cut or anything like that, or if you have chronic problems with your skin or just like to, you know, give your skin something to, you know, pick it up, because Roxy Pacifics is an all-natural kelp water and vitamin-based solution that is totally safe and we already have the Roxy winner. Did we already give the bottle away? What's that? Okay. See, people. Well, I guess we'll take it. We'll take it.
I call it that premature distribution right there.
Well, why don't we give two bottles away?
Really?
I think
we'll be okay with
nice.
That.
That's crazy generous.
Okay, because some people are so anxious to get hold of this stuff that I guess we sort of did say, but...
All right, then we'll thank Cameron Laurie of Orlando.
Yeah, thank you, Cameron.
Won the first
Congratulations
one.
For winning a bottle of Roxy Pacifics. And but let's go ahead and give another bottle away.
You're generous tonight,
yeah,
Chris.
Well, it's It's great stuff. So the next caller at 407-774-8255 will also get a bottle of Roxy Pacifics. And once again, folks, this is great stuff. And everybody that's gotten one of Ed's samples has gone back for more because it's working for them. I know it worked for me with a rash. It worked with Larry. He had laryngitis. Also, he bit his tongue and he used it mm-hmm. on that. And it's totally safe because it is basically seawater. It's a certain concentration.
Same pH as human blood.
Exactly. And I like to call it fertilizer for your skin.
We're going to test this out on Johnny.
Or skin food, if you will. Yeah, Johnny
hurt his shin playing softball. The ball's supposed to be soft, but apparently he's got a huge bruise on it.
Yeah, well, those softballs actually are pretty doggone hard.
So
yeah.
He's going to try it on his bruised shin. And Johnny, before you leave for Indiana on Thursday, you got to let us know how it does, whether it brings the swelling down or what.
This thing is huge.
And it's good for bruises. It's even good for use on scars, folks. So it basically anything to do with your skin, this stuff is great for it. And it's all safe, all natural. A child can use it. You can get it in your mouth. A child can get it in their mouth. You can use it on your pets. It works. And we're hearing the results from our listeners all the time. So Roxy Pacifics.
There you go. It's being applied right now, live on the air.
There you go.
That feels so good.
I see that we already have another caller on the line, so if you didn't get through tonight, we'll give away another bottle next week. And Roxy Pacifics, if you want to get a bottle for yourself, just go to Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y, Pacifics with an X, .net. Roxy Pacifics with an X, .net. And the prices are real reasonable, and it'll last you a long time, and that's if you use it every day. And so once again, get yourself some and keep it in the medicine cabinet. You'll find all kinds of great uses for it, and it really does work. It really does. It's good for your skin. So do something right for your skin tonight. Slap some Roxy Pacifics on it, or squirt some on it.
Sounds like you should be writing a theme song or something.
Do something right for your skin tonight. Get Roxy Pacifics.
There you go.
Make it feel right.
Okay. All right. So and we want to thank Ed Roxy for being a great supporter of our show. Okay. Mm-hmm. Before we move on to some WTF news in the next segment, I just sort of want to tag this on with the sue and settle strategy where we were talking about how, you know, the greenies are using the courts basically to force the government, this federal government, to do what it wants to do anyway, so that's why they go along with it. But that's in the face of science actually being against them. And the latest iteration of that came out this week, or actually last weekend, in the IPCC report. That's the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
They're a bunch of right-wing extremists.
Oh, yeah. Of course
all
they are.
Right.
They, every 5 years or so, issue one of these reports. The last one actually came out in 2007 and had dire predictions of how, you know, the seas were going to be rising and the temperatures were going to be scorching hot by now. Now,
the Magic Kingdom would be the only place in Florida above ground.
Yeah, we'd all have to be in the tower of Cinderella's castle out there, crowded in, if we wanted to be surviving and still be residents of Central Florida. But lo and behold, it hasn't been materializing.
Hmm.
And the report even had to admit, over the last decade and a half at least, there has been insignificant global warming.
And in a lot of places, actually, temperatures have gone down.
And this is in spite of, and this is one thing that I found astounding, and this is was in Tuesday's Wall Street Journal. It's on their editorial page where they're talking about the report. But let me just read this first paragraph, because I found this to be extremely astounding in terms of the numbers. Between 1998 and 2012, the global economy more than doubled in size. Between 98 and 2012, that's only 14 years.
Hmm.
The world economy doubled in size from some $30 trillion to some $71 trillion. That's over doubling. That's double plus.
But I thought it was a zero-sum game. I thought if you gained a trillion here, you had to lose a trillion somewhere else.
Well, that's because you were thinking like a liberal.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
So In 14 years, from 1998 through 2012, the global economy doubled in size from $30 trillion to $71 trillion. That means energy consumption went way up too, folks, sure. Okay? Which also meant that a lot more carbon dioxide was emitted into the atmosphere. And this was, according to previous IPCC reports, the most damaging of the greenhouse gases that can be directly attributed to human activity. Okay.
You mean the stuff that trees and plants breathe?
Right.
Yeah, carbon dioxide.
So over that same, so over that same 14-year period, the world pumped more than 100 billion tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, and it didn't cause global warming.
Wow.
If anything, it caused global cooling. As a matter of fact, one of the scientists said that there would have been global warming if there had not, if it had not been for relative global cooling.
Yeah. That's from the Obvious magazine. Is that where that was from? And if Grandpa weren't dead, he'd be alive.
Yes. And nonetheless, excuse me, I'm sorry. Nonetheless, the report still said that climate change, global warming is due to human activity, even though each, and this is a quote from the report, each of the last three decades has been successfully warmer at Earth's surface than any previous decade since 1850. Unfortunately, the global temperature in general was not going up because the heat was being redistributed. See, okay. It's all part of President Obama. We have him to thank.
Right, not he spread only, the heat around.
Yeah, not only is he spreading the wealth around, he's spreading the heat around, too. It's all about redistribution of wealth, heat. It's all the same thing.
And, you know, there is more...
What a guy.
There is more square footage of ice in the Arctic Circle than there ever has been before. They're blaming that on global warming. They're saying, yeah, well, it all melted and then it refroze again. That's why global warming caused more ice.
Well, if that hasn't got you going crazy, just hang on because we have some more WTF coming up after this break. So don't go away, folks. We are the American Adversaries. Christopher Hart, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, Jeff Sinis. We're the hard workers, the part-timers. They're off somewhere else.
That's right, they're furloughed.
And we all are
live.
Folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And if you really want to find out what's going on in America, check out the American Adversaries. Tough guy, ho!
Okay, ho! Here we are back, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries. And we are live for the next half hour, at which time we're going to hand the ball off to Mark Walters, and he'll take you right up live until 11 o'clock, at which time there'll be a Pat Williams replay show, and he's always great, got great guests on his show.
When we hand the ball off to Mark Walters, do you think he'll be in the shotgun formation? Little football joke there.
Maybe the pistol.
Armed American Radio is Mark Walters' show. Okay, folks. But now it is time for WTF News with Johnny Gunn. So, Johnny, have at it.
Thanks, Chris. And tonight, we're going to have a special edition of WTF News. It's the special government shutdown edition of WTF News. Now, we kind of touched on this a little bit, but I believe it was JJ that called in about this.
Earlier,
but, we're going to bring it back up.
All right.
The government website launched this week to sell health insurance was overwhelmed by up to five times as many users as it was designed to handle. U.S. Chief Technology Officer Todd Park said the government expected healthcare.gov to draw 50 to 60,000 simultaneous users, but instead has drawn as many as 250,000 at a time. Quote, these bugs were a function of volume, Park said. Take away the volume, and it works. Go figure. If no one's visiting my website, yes, of course it will work.
I'd get a lot more done if these customers would just go away.
That's right. The administration built the site capacity based partly on the all-time high of 30,000 simultaneous users for Medicare.gov, which did not impress David Brailer, former National Coordinator of Healthcare Information Technology, who said, quote, whoever thought it would draw 60,000 people wasn't reading the administration's press releases. The Medicare Part D site was supposed to have 20,000 simultaneous users and was built for 150,000, and that was back when computing was done on an abacus. It isn't that hard. The Affordable Care Act called for the Department of Health and Human Services to build an online exchange or internet store to let uninsured customers compare and buy plans offered by private insurance companies. Well, that exchange misfired almost immediately upon its launch. Engineers quickly deployed software that referred visitors to an online waiting room. But serious performance issues have plagued the site all week, and not even that worked. The site is expected to be running better by early next week.
This reminds me of Fisker.
The car manufacturer?
Yeah.
Electric car manufacturer.
It just doesn't work.
No.
And no one wants.
It went up in flames almost literally.
If the website doesn't work, that's just a precursor for the actual program.
I bet Leonardo DiCaprio signed up for Obamacare because he's the only one in California that bought a Fisker.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Story number two. National Park Service officials blocked parking lots to the George Washington's Mount Vernon Estate and Gardens after the government shut down this week. There's just one problem. The historic site is privately owned and funded. Park police blocked the lots due to a misunderstanding over the ownership of the spaces, according to Melissa Wood, Mount Vernon's media director. Officials approached the park police and explained the situation. They removed the barricades, yes, barricades, as soon as they realized their mistake, Wood said. The Park Service does maintain the Mount Vernon parking lots, but the property is privately owned, and it's owned by the Mount Vernon Ladies Association, and neither that group nor the plantation receive any government funding. The Mount Vernon website also updated its homepage, confirming that the grounds are still open to the public. The page reads, "We're open! No shutdown here. The federal government may be shut down, but Washington's home remains. Mount Vernon has remained a private nonprofit for more than 150 years.
Oh.
Barry, you know, he gets barrier and barrier every day.
Them barricades. All right, now story number three. Canine Americans are happy that furloughed federal workers are spending more time at home, but what about their usual daytime companions? Those being the dog walkers whose services aren't required as long as government employees can be at home and exercise their own pets. Meg Levine, like other small business owners in the D.C. area, have ongoing concerns that the customers of her Just Walk D.C. will lose their sources of income for extended periods. Mostly, though, she says she's very angry with politicians and thinks her clients feel similarly. J.J. Scheel, owner of Dog Walking D.C., says her business has already taken a hit. Quote, "All the walkers are down anywhere from 1 to 3 dogs per day," Scheel says. "And if the shutdown is really protracted," she says, "I don't know what I'll do. I think they can handle a week, but after a week, I honestly don't know what I would do." Christina Bell, who has her own dog walking business, Doggy Days DC, said that business is down about half since the shutdown went into effect. She says, quote, "If it's longer than a month, then I'll have to find something else to do, which really kind of sucks. Getting a quick job," Bell said, "would have the disadvantages beyond merely giving up the pleasures of self-employment. Quote, working at a grocery store or something would be cutting my pay in half," unquote. In related news, I'm going to start up my own Orlando-based dog walking service.
And you know, speaking of that, child care is probably suffering as well.
Well, there is one dog walker who doesn't have to worry about his job.
Oh, who's that?
That's the guy who walks Barack Obama's dog, Bo.
Well, sure, because he's not going to get furloughed at all.
Oh, no. And guess how much he gets paid to walk the dog?
Oh, God, no.
$100,000 a year.
What?
Hey, I'd scoop poop, too, all day long for $100,000 a year, buddy.
I bet that's another job.
I'd put a Target bag on my hand and scoop up that.
That's right. Yes, sir. They're not going to go wanting around the White House. No, sir. Old Bo.
Wow.
Bo's still going to get his walk in. Okay. All right. By the way, before we go here, I've stumbled across this, and actually it's kind of old now. I wanted to use it last week, but we ran out of time. This is a couple of stories came out of the the Orlando Sentinel about the NSA spying. And some of the latest stories to come out, one of the stories is about some of the spying that's been going on by the NSA has to do with the NSA people spying on their wives and lovers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's only logical, right? Some people, if they have the chance, that's exactly what they're going to do.
If you could redirect a satellite, that's where it'd be, right?
Yeah. In one instance, in 2005, a military member of the NSA queried 6 email addresses of a former American girlfriend. On the first day, he obtained access to the system. He couldn't wait to find out what his girlfriend had been up to. And that's just one example, there have been others as people who have access to the information find all sorts of uses for that information.
Now, is that against some kind of law?
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's this. You know, the NSA has been around for quite some time. It's not a new organization that was started after 9/11. The NSA has been around
since just after World War II.
Exactly, yeah. When the CIA and all that was formed, these various agencies were put together and had black budgets and stuff like this. These are budgets that aren't discussed amongst Congress. And a lot of times the people in Congress don't even know what they are for. But the NSA has been spying on Americans. And listen to some of the Americans they spied on in the 1960s. And this is under Democratic administrations, right? How about Martin Luther King? Mm-hmm. Now, we knew the FBI was spying on him, but also the NSA. Muhammad Ali.
Sure.
All right. Now, you might think, well, yeah, you know, we can see that, you know, in some sort of odd fashion. How about this? They were also spying on Senator Frank Church, the Democrat from Idaho. Now, if you remember, Johnny, you pulled up the soundbite from it because you found it in that Meet the Press. Remember, it was like 20 years old where he talks about the abilities of the NSA to spy on people?
Right.
This was 20 years ago.
And here they were spying on him.
Now, he's a Democrat. You might think, yeah, why not spy on the Democrats? But they are also spying on one, Howard Baker. You remember mm-hmm. Howard Baker?
Sure.
Longtime senator from Tennessee. And he, of course, was a longtime Republican. And so they just spying on every old body. They were even spying on, of course, members of the press, including the Washington Post humorist Art Buchwald.
Oh, come on, Art Buchwald. He's just a funny guy.
He was being too funny, I guess. So you never know. And now when you think about George Carlin dying suddenly in his hotel room of a heart attack, very soon after he begins to trash the global warming movement with some very biting and funny humor.
I have to dig into that.
You have to begin
to
wonder.
Towards the end of his life, George Carlin was an ultra-liberal, bitter old man who really stopped being funny. He was just kind of like Bill Maher, but a little bit...
He had become that, but he had started this new routine that Lee was talking about when he called earlier, where he was poking fun at the global, and it was biting humor, and it was all effective stuff, too.
Because it's based on truth.
What his humor was, yeah. But the global warming, of course, because it's based on lies.
Right.
And so he was poking it full of holes in a very humorous fashion. Next thing you know, he's pushing up lilies.
He maybe pulled a Breitbart, you think?
I don't know, but all I know is the NSA, they spy on Martin Luther King, Muhammad Ali, Art Buchwald. What's to say they aren't out there spying on George Carlin?
Well, you know, I am a big conspiracy theory guy. Some of them are nuts, but I like a good one. And I think that every politician who runs for anything, even if it's for local water and soil conservation, whatever, has a dossier somewhere in the CIA, the FBI, or the NSA. And people on both sides are being spied on by people who can do that.
They probably have dossiers on talk show hosts, too.
I think they do.
Yeah.
I'll bet my dossier is bigger than yours.
I doubt it, because I got a much earlier start. We're the American Adversaries. We'll come right back with Lair's Clothes.
Can you believe it? We're in our last segment on the American Adversaries. A three-hour tour is just about to pull into port. And you know what that means if you listen to our show, but just in case you don't, here's what the last segment means. It's one of my favorite segments of the show. It's where we get Lair Adams to give us his final thoughts. Unfortunately, Lair's not here, but his final thoughts are. So, Lair Adams, take it away.
Hey, friends. With all the turmoil going on in our nation today, many people believe something is shrinking or disappearing altogether. That something would be the happy little concept known as the American Dream. With all due respect to professional wrestling star of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, I'm talking about that golden little nugget we've been taught that existed since we were old enough to be taught. It's a wonderful idea that came about during the early 1900s that eloquently laid out what true happiness should be for the average American. The formula was simplicity itself. The American Dream was this: a house, a spouse, two cars, 2.5 kids, a good steady job, money and savings, and good health, or at least no worry about paying for health care. Yes, this was the mixture that would be the barometer for the happiness living in this nation would ensure. However exciting as this was for those growing up under such an ideal, our forefathers had no part in its development. They had no American Dream, just a dream for America. I think they would have found too many flaws in the philosophy. First of all, the American Dream is all about certainty. Your job, your spouse, kids, house, and cars are always going to be there in the American Dream. In the dream our Constitution's authors believed in, they didn't care whether you were happy or whether you achieved your dreams. They understood it wasn't their job to give you anything you want. They provided things no dream could give, namely freedom and security. They had no plan for a chicken in every pot, Social Security, Medicare, etc. Just one for freedom and security. Their continuing war against tyranny had taught them government is like a clumsy giant whose obsession to help makes it stumble and step on the many, crushing them while trying to save the few. These brilliant thinkers understood there is no freedom when someone is not allowed to fail. They shied away from the desire for certainty, since certainty is almost always conquered by the far more prevailing force of change. Keeping this in mind, maybe it's time for a new American Dream, one whose goals are not set in stone, where what you want to happen must happen in order for you to fulfill your American Dream, rather than, I'd like this to happen, but if something better comes along, hey, that might make a nice American Dream too. Never stop dreaming, folks, but keep your eyes on the road ahead, and have a splendiferous week, my friend.
Okay, that's right. Hey, that's our very own Lair Adams, and he's great at that stuff.
Even when he phones it in, he does a great job
American Dream. That's right. Okay, and he will be back tomorrow, and Carl Jackson will be back next week, as will Tyler Israel. Carl was with his family tonight. He had a nephew in town who's a warthog pilot. You know what a warthog is?
Yeah, but I didn't know they had pilots.
Yeah, A-10 warthog.
Oh, that I don't know.
It's a very slow-flying jet that they use over battlefields to knock out tanks and things like that. It's great support for the ground troops, and Obama wants to do away with all of them.
Well, sure, because they kill people and hurt things.
They are very effective fighting tools, and they're great airplanes. You can just about blow a wing off one of the things, and they'll still fly home.
Hmm.
It's a great thing, and his nephew's a pilot, and hats off to him. But Carl Jackson, of course, he'll be having his live show next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock as well. Don't forget that. Okay, before we go, just a couple of quick things. First of all, I'd like to send our condolences to Joseph and Mara Lee. They lost their little Lucky, one of their little dogs, this past week passed away. And that's very sad. It's always very sad. And my friend, lifetime friend, lost his Doberman Pinscher Angel, who, even though she was a Doberman Pinscher and you get all these visions in your mind, she really was a sweet angel.
This is a strange week because, do you remember my next-door neighbor, Vicky, from our neighborhood?
Yeah.
She had a little terrier named Pixie. Mm. Pixie passed away this past week. This is a week of losing pets.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Been that
but prayers out to anyone who's lost a loved one or a loved puppy.
For sure. By the way, folks, if you're interested in Common Core and would like to participate in saying something about it to the government, because of Rick Scott having sort of backed off of the testing that was being put together under the name of Common Core. They are also now going to hold some hearings on Common Core here in the state of Florida.
Will they allow you to speak at them, or will they drag you out kicking and screaming like the guy in Pennsylvania had that happen?
They call them hearings. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what that's going to mean, but
see what they hear.
There will be three of them, October 15th in Tampa, October 16th in Davie, and October 17th in Tallahassee. Other than Tampa, why in the world would you have a meeting in Davie and Tallahassee? Why not Orlando, Jacksonville, or Miami, for God's sake? Anyways, they will also take comments at flstandards.org. That's flstandards.org. But the comments must be submitted by Halloween, October 31st. Isn't that appropriate? But you can have your say on Obamacare at one of those meetings, presumably, or for sure at flstandards.org. And we're going to work to get some people involved in the Common Core movement against it, if you will, back on the show.
Like Stacey Clark.
Like Stacey Clark, that's right. Okay, before we get out of here tonight, I would also just like to mention Harold Agnew. He's somebody that probably most of you have never heard of. I have to admit, I'd never heard of him until I read his obituary in Friday's Orlando Sentinel. He was a key figure in the Los Alamos Manhattan Project. He joined the Manhattan Project as a very young man, and he was there and just died at the age of, I believe, 92. And what's so special about him? He was an unabashed, proud scientist, proud of his country, proud of what he was doing, even proud of how atomic weapons were used. Let me read you a quote of his. I felt tempted to use it tonight, but I knew probably nobody would get it unless they...
Not going to get Harold Agnew.
But let me just read this. He says, my feelings toward Hiroshima and the Japanese was they bloody well deserved it. And it took men like that to win World War II, folks. You know, that's the attitude that it took to win that war. That is the attitude that evidently went with that generation.
Well, because some of that generation.
We don't fight wars that way anymore.
We fight them like Neville Chamberlain.
Exactly. We don't fight them to win, and we don't fight them to be decisive. And this man, as I said, he was a scientist, and he worked for the United States government for a long time. He advised presidents, and he was also instrumental in developing nuclear energy. He was a great scientist. Without men like Harold Agnew, we never probably would have won World War II. Let's just put it that way.
And a lot of people who worked on that Manhattan Project have been quoted in decades since, regretting what they did. They think what they did was opened up a Pandora's box that can't be closed, and they wish they hadn't.
And that's why I think we should remember a guy like Harold Agnew, remember him, know him to begin with, and then remember him, a guy like Harold Agnew who knew that the United States was the best thing in the world for the world. And he was unabashed, as I said, about it. And if it hadn't been for him, there might have been a comprehensive nuclear test ban during the Carter administration, in which case we probably wouldn't have a nuclear arsenal right now and may not have one in 10 or 15 years if we don't get on the stick and upgrade and modernize our nuclear weapons. And if we don't, we may be kissing more than Rouhani's ring next time he comes to the UN. We may be kissing his butt, too. Because they will have the nuclear weapons.
Well, you know, as we do every 2 years, we have a chance to steer the ship that is this country in whatever direction the people want. And there's an opportunity in 2014 and a bigger one in 2016 to right this ship.
Yep. It's up to us, folks. We can do it. We can do it. Like that guy says, we can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Okay, folks, something else you can do is you can come out and join us 3 weeks from yesterday. That's October 26th, 8 a.m. at Lake Eola Park. That's when the walk's going to start. And it's a walk to end Alzheimer's, bring more attention to Alzheimer's. And you can help us out by coming on down and being a part of the American Adversaries team. And you can find out more about this by going to alz.org/walk. That's alz.org/walk. And write this phone number down somewhere, folks, because somewhere, sometime in your life or your neighbor's life or somebody in your family's life, you're probably going to be dealing with somebody who has Alzheimer's disease. I know it's touched my family. I know it's touched a lot of families that I know. 800-272-3900 is the helpline. And that's nothing to do with a walk. This is if you just need information and help about how to get help for someone with Alzheimer's or yourself, even if you think that or have been diagnosed with it. 800-272-3900. Please come out and join us at Lake Eola Park on October 26th. The walk's at 8 o'clock in the morning, one time around the lake, no big deal, and you'll be able to spend the rest of the day enjoying your weekend. So please come on out and join us. It'll be a lot of fun. And we're going to put together a little package that if you donate $25 or $50 or something, that you'll get an American Adversaries t-shirt, too, that we'll throw in. But please come on out and help us, help the folks who are concerned about Alzheimer's disease. Well, guys, I guess that's going to do it. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and,
flew by.
Absolutely. It's
next week you get Larry Adams back, you get Carl Jackson back, you get Tyler Israel back. But for now, you're just going to have to settle for Jeff Sennis, Christopher Hart, Johnny Guns, and me, Nostradamus, the American Adversaries Classic Show on a Sunday night.
That's right. Don't forget, Mark Walters with Armed American Radio is coming up next. Carl Jackson! Saturday mornings, 8 to 9 a.m. Marshall Polston, Saturday afternoons, 2 to 3 p.m. We're the American Adversaries. We love you, each and every one. Thanks so very much. Night.